It's a blessed invitation that our Lord has extended to us to begin each week on the first day coming before Him to praise, to worship, to honor Him, to meet around the table, to partake of the communion service together as we remember the great sacrifice that our Savior made for us. And whether we're here with these seven folks in this empty auditorium, whether you're sitting in your living room, we are in the presence of God, and we've met for that purpose. As we begin this morning, I want to take just a moment and give a word from the elders to Tom and Benjamin and Bert and Danny Morris and to Danny Nunn and to Herbert, for just the absolute wonderful lessons they have brought to us from God's Word. We are so thankful for all of them. And beyond that, we're so thankful to you for your encouragement, for your support through these months, for the kind words that you have had, and for the way you have stepped up when we've had needs. It has been a great blessing to be in the family of God at Maryville during this time. Well, Thanksgiving is over. It's been like none other. And that's all I'm going to say about that at this time. But I am thinking about thankfulness, because I believe that thankfulness is not a day, it's a lifestyle for the child of God. I'd like to share an incident in the life of Christ that comes from Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. And it came to pass, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 lepers, men who stood at a distance. And they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Were none found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The scene that Jesus saw on that day was not an uncommon scene in that land at that time. It was addressed even in the Old and the New Testaments, and in Leviticus chapter 13, instructions were given for those who were afflicted with leprosy. They were to show themselves to the priest. And if the priest deemed that they were leprous, then they were declared unclean. They were told to tear their clothes, to uncover their head, but to cover their beards. And any time they were approached, they were to cry, "Unclean." And if that were not enough, they were told they had to leave the camp. They had to live outside the cities. They were isolated, alone, or with other groups of lepers. We know that some of them just had skin lesions. Some of them had loss of limbs. There was a man named Thompson, Dr. Thompson, years ago, who was traveling through Palestine. This is many years after Christ arose, went back to heaven. But he was walking through Palestine. He was on the Gaza Road going to Jerusalem, not thinking about anything in particular. And all of a sudden, he was startled by the sudden appearance of a crowd of beggars. He said, without eyes, nose, or hair. And he said they cried to him with handless arms as unearthly sounds came from throats with no palates. And he said, "I was horrified." And this is pretty much a scene that Jesus would have seen on this day. national and racial barriers were broken down here. One of them was the Samaritan, those who were despised by the Jews. But they were brought together by this common malady of leprosy and their common need to be dependent on those who would pass by to give them bread or to give them alms. And as Jesus came by, it's interesting, there was no cry of unclean, unclean, but there was a cry of Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. We don't know how much they knew about Jesus, but we know that they knew he was no common, ordinary tourist that was traveling through. And there was no overt action from Jesus on this road. No touching of the lepers, no really outstanding action from Jesus. He just turns to them and he says, go show yourselves to the priest. And they get up and they go, and they're still leprous. The priest has seen them before. They know what he can say. But as they went in this incident, we read that they were healed. And that's where it becomes so interesting and profound to me, that as they were healed and they look down and they see that they are healed, only one of them thinks to turn around and to go back to praise God and to fall at the feet of Jesus. They were all anxious. They were all in great want. But when their needs were met, they failed to come back to thank the giver of the blessing they had received. And I'm afraid that those nine mirror where we are sometimes in our lives. After we receive what we ask for, we forget to go back and to thank the giver of all things that are good, but we forget to go back and to thank all of those who have touched our lives and have blessed us in so many ways. But our focus this morning is not on the nine. Our focus is on the one who came back to thank Jesus. And Jesus expected to see them all. And he turns and hears the one and he says, your faith has made you whole. Where are the nine? And as I thought about that, how many times have I in my life failed to offer that thanks to God for the things that have happened that have been so wonderful and so gracious in my life, and situations that have been so tense and they were eased, to thank the God of all blessings for what had happened. And I know he expects it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. Colossians chapter 4, we're told to keep alert in prayer with an attitude of thanksgiving. And then another word shows up in Scripture in Colossians chapter 2. Those who are in Christ Jesus are reminded that they should be overflowing with gratitude. So now we have two words to deal with. We have gratitude. We have thanksgiving. We know them when we see them in people, but how would we describe gratitude as opposed to thanksgiving? How we would relate their connection one with the other? Well, Webster makes an attempt at it, and I think a very good one. He defines gratitude as a feeling of thankful appreciation, and then thanksgiving as an expression of that gratitude. That sounds good. I began to look further in a study of these words, and I was amazed. There are people who spend their lifetime studying gratitude. They've written books on it. They've written articles on it. There are listings, more than you can read in a sitting, of the characteristics of those who are grateful. But one of the experts in this field, Robert Emmons, has written the following about gratitude, and I want to share that with us this morning. First, it's an affirmation of goodness. We affirm that there are good things in the world, gifts and benefits that we've received. Doesn't mean that life isn't perfect. or is perfect. It doesn't ignore complaints, burdens, and hassles. But when we look at life as a whole, gratitude encourages us to identify the goodness in our life. But there's a second part of gratitude. The second part of gratitude is figuring out where that goodness comes from and realizing that the source of that goodness is outside of ourselves. And so we see a picture in the discussion and definition of these words of a heart that's so full of gratitude for all that has been given to it, that it just overflows and it comes forth in thankfulness. So you have that constant display, gratitude, thankfulness, gratitude, thankfulness. And as I began to look at that, I thought, well, what nuggets of gold lie in that heart? What was in the heart of that Samaritan that came back to say thank you, that caused him to think, first of all, to thank the Lord and to fall before the feet of Jesus? What is in the heart of those that we love who are so grateful and can see the good in every situation and give thanks for it? And I found more than we could discuss this morning, but I found a summary of six that I like. And while they weren't written as being religious or from the standpoint of scriptures, they so fulfill them. And actually, they fulfill the second chapter of Philippians. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. But when they studied over a period of years, those people who exhibited gratefulness and thankfulness, the first characteristic that came up was selfless. And that makes so much sense. Because when we are not focused on our own needs and our own agendas and our own wants, and when we are willing to just accept the blessings that come to us, it's so easy to be thankful. I immediately thought of Joseph. You remember that story of Joseph, hated by his brothers, thrown in the pit, sold to relatives as a slave, who in turn sell him again, and he goes to Egypt. He tries to do what the Lord wants him to do, and he ends up in prison. But ultimately, through the blessings of the Lord and the gifts that he gave him, he ends up second to Pharaoh. And then the famine comes. These same brothers that hate him come to Egypt. They need food. And Joseph recognizes them. But he also recognizes there's an opportunity here. So in time, he gets to see his full brother, Benjamin. He gets to see the father that loved him so much and is brought to Egypt, who thought he was dead because of the lies of these brothers. All was well and good for a while. And then the father died. And the brothers come to Joseph. And they say, when Dad was dying, he told us to come ask for your forgiveness. And we're falling at your feet, and we're asking for your forgiveness. And Joseph's answer, I think, is just one of the most beautiful answers. He said, you meant what you did for evil. He recognized that, and they needed to hear that. I know that what you did to me, you meant for evil. But God meant it for good, so that I could preserve you alive. Followed by the statement, don't be afraid, I'll provide for you. Joseph was able to look beyond himself. He was able to see God working in a bad situation, and he stepped right into the role that was given him. There was a lady that we knew who was disabled. She was unable to walk anywhere by herself. She barely escaped a house fire and, in fact, lived with us for a while. Then she got her own place, but I always went by to see her. She was always happy. I never heard her complain at all. She had very little. She had lost everything in the fire, was having to start over. I went to see her one day, and she was sitting in her chair. She had a card ministry. Members of the church gave her cards, and she used them to the fullest, sending cards out to people. And when I walked in, she handed me a $5 bill. And she said, I noticed in the church bulletin that this family had a burnout in their house, and I want them to have this $5. So I took it. And Sybil had made her something to eat, so I went in, opened the refrigerator to put it in the refrigerator, and the only thing in there was a little block of cheese. And I turned around and looked in her kitchen cabinets, and I think I found 3 or 4 cans of food. That's all this woman had. And I went back to her, and I said, you know, maybe you need to keep this $5. And she said, no. She said, I've been blessed. God's people helped me. I want them to have that $5. Selfless. Able to look beyond herself to the needs of the others. And didn't Jesus do that when he said, not my will, but thy will be done. I yield to you. The second characteristic of those who are grateful is the loss of entitlement. We live in an age where folks just expect everyone, including God sometimes, to give them what they need and their happiness and satisfaction in life, and actually ability to get along with the others around them in life depends on whether or not these needs are met. And when we come to that situation in our lives, thankfulness just goes out the window because we're focused on the wrong thing. But when we're willing to give up our rights and look at everything we have as a gift, a precious gift, it's so easy to be thankful. John the Baptist in John chapter 3 had his followers come to him and they said, John, Jesus over here is taking all of those who have been following you. And John's answer was so beautiful. A man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him from heaven. And then he made that famous statement, he must increase, I must decrease. And John continued with his ministry. Third characteristic of those who are grateful is that of purpose. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, the apostle said, we have as our ambition to be pleasing to him. In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said, I came to do the will of him who sent me. To be in Christ Jesus is to have every reason to be thankful. The purpose of his life caused Daniel to refuse to eat meat that was sacrificed to idols. Purpose in their lives was what caused his friends to refuse to bow down before an idol. Jesus went to the cross with purpose. And it's with purpose in our own lives that we persevere through hardships, that we keep our commitments, that we serve those around us, that we work to support our families, that we nurture our children, that we love one another, because we're working with purpose in our lives, a godly purpose. A fourth characteristic is awareness. The one who is selfless is more free to recognize the needs of others. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus had been teaching the people all day, and he was ready to dismiss the people, and he said, they've been with us all day. They've had nothing to eat or drink. We need to feed them before they leave. He was aware of their needs. Many years ago, one of our Christian colleges did a survey, and they sent letters out all over the United States asking people to submit to them the names of people that they felt were the most spiritual in their congregations and their reasons why. And there were many characteristics that came back to them, and they sent questionnaires out without the people knowing why. But one of the ones that kind of touched me was that one of the common characteristics of all of these people that folks saw that were the most spiritual was that they were so sensitive to and aware of the needs of others. And comments were made like that they can see changes in a person's behavior, and they go to them and they ask them if there's some way they can be of service. They can see hurt in others. And when you're selfless and you're not looking inwardly toward yourself, it's so easy to see these things and to be aware of the lives of those that are around us. And it's a Christ-like characteristic. And it's one that makes us thankful in the whole of our lives. And the last of these characteristics that I saw that I thought were applicable was compassion. You know, Jesus, seeing the multitudes, on one occasion had compassion on them because they were distressed and they were downcast like a sheep without a shepherd. The father of the prodigal son. His son had taken the inheritance. He had gone off. He had squandered everything that he had been given. He lived a life that was contrary to the life of his family, that was contrary to his faith. And now he had hit rock bottom and he's coming home. He's going to be a servant to his father in his own mind. And well, he probably should have been in the eyes of many. The father had every opportunity there to say, yes, you took what I gave you, you squandered it, you embarrassed us the way you were living, and now you're coming home. Yeah, you'll work out here with our field hands. But the scripture says his father saw him from afar off and had compassion on him. To have compassion, which leads to forgiveness, makes it so easy to be grateful and to be thankful. I'm so thankful that we have a Heavenly Father and we have a Savior who had such compassion for us that they made a way for us to be redeemed and reconciled with our God to live with Him eternally. And if we consider the compassion that has been given us, we should also extend that compassion to others. I'm so thankful for all of you who exhibit these characteristics in your lives, and they make it so wonderful to be a member of the family of God and to worship with you. I don't know about this leper too much, don't know anything about him, but I like him. And I like him because of his heart that was overflowing with his thankfulness. And I wonder when he came back and he fell at the feet of Jesus and he thanked him, if he had any idea that in a very short time, this Jesus who healed him of his leprosy would also die for the salvation of his soul. I get a lot of things in the mail and on the internet, and I know you do too. Most of them I discard, but I got one this last week, and in closing, I want to share this with us because it caught my idea because of a heading that was there that said, "What are you thankful for?" And I thought, I'll read this one, see what they say. Listen to this. It's from YouVersion. The passage, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And they begin, "No matter what you face, God's goodness and mercy will never leave you. In fact, He even prepares blessings for you in the middle of hard seasons. But these truths aren't always easy to remember, which is why giving thanks matters. Gratitude helps us to focus on the only one who's able to turn our problems around for his glory and our good. So right now, let's take a minute to pause and thank God for all he's done in our lives. And I want us to do that. And I want to read to you their prayer. God, you are good, and your steadfast love endures forever. Even in the hardest seasons, I always have a reason to worship you. Thank you for giving me victory and abundant life in Jesus Christ. Although I don't deserve it, you shower me with unconditional love and forgiveness. And so no matter what the future may hold, I will shout for joy because you are with me. You comfort me and bless me in the presence of my enemies. Nothing compares to you, and no weapon can stand against you. In all things, I am more than a conqueror through you. Be glorified through me, God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart bless your name. I want my life to bring you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And so as COVID continues and we're separated physically, let's remember we're united in spirit. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Let's continue to pour out to our Father and our Redeemer our thanksgivings and our praise from hearts that are filled with gratitude, knowing all along that they're walking through this with us.